You're listening to We Speak Common Presents The Cosmic Causeway, a Spelljammer mini-series. To find out more about We Speak Common, head to wespeakcommon.com for a full list of links for where we're available, including our social media channels like Twitter and Instagram, and of course, our Patreon, which makes series like this possible. Now sit back into that helm and hold on tight. We're heading to wild space. Welcome to We Speak Common. Figures walk through the forest, led by a buggy-eyed female halfling. Each member of this exploration party heaves a heavy backpack with pots, pans, and ropes hanging off their sides. The ground beneath your feet is uneven and hard. Veronica trips and almost falls before Halcyon catches her. The air is fresh, and with the town of Amphal now behind you, the distant smell of horses has passed. Veronica, please introduce yourself.
Hi guys. My name is Veronica Bugs Bakersfield, and I am said halfling leading the group. Short, obviously. I got this white, crazy glowing hair. Not glowing, but like, the kind of glowing, when the sun hits it, it kind of hurts your eyes to look at. You know, it's not like a luminescence, but it's kind of annoying. She got smiley faces and rainbow hair clips, and she wears these shoes that kind of look a bit too big for her because she has stacked them up a bit, so she's like a little inch taller. And yeah, she got these big goggles that make her eyes look really big. And she has a plaster on her nose, on the bridge of her nose, because she keeps walking into door handles. Because she's little. And yeah, I think that's about it, but yep.
And
that's me.
And who is your alter ego?
My name is Bugs.
No. Who are you?
Who am I? Oh, me?
Yeah. Yeah, who are you?
I'm Phoebe. Hi.
Okay, cool.
And I do not have that annoying voice.
Good. Pull that mic a little bit closer to you as well, just to be safe. Lovely. And by Bugs' side is her friend, who has caught her as she trips over a bit of uneven ground, the man known as Halcyon. Who plays Halcyon?
It's me, Sam. Well,
thank you. Thanks, Sam.
Tell us
about yourself.
So Halcyon has a rigid frame, one that as he's walking looks just uncomfortable at the lack of movement of the ground beneath his feet. He wears a long blue coat, common to many seafarers or naval commanders. Under his coat, that seems almost too large for him, he's wearing fairly generic clothes. He has a yellowed cloth top. I'm reading off a thing and it's complicated.
Words are hard for you, aren't they, bud?
Words are hard. He's wearing some leather trousers and some boots that have dried sea salt sitting upon them. In his left hand is a staff. At the top is a clear sphere with engravings around it that resemble constellations. In his right hand is a scimitar, a beautifully crafted scimitar by great elven artisans. It looks well used with a purple ribbon wrapped around its hilt. His long brown hair looks wind-battered and is uninviting. So he's probably just caught his friend Bugs with things in his arms.
Yeah. And what race is Halcyon?
He's a half elf.
Lovely. And in the middle of the group, I imagine, is the short and unassuming looking goblin known as Matchsticks. Who is Matchsticks?
I'm Matchsticks. It's me, James. And Matchsticks is just a small little goblin, about 3 feet tall. Not very happy to be here. I'd rather be back in the paper disposal unit, you know, burning away them papers. But Bugs asked for help, so here I am.
Yeah, fair play. And bringing up the rear of the group, probably a good few 5 to 10 feet back, dragging behind the party with a bit of displeasure, is who?
Is Zadar. It's me, Wesley. Hello. Zadar is a... I should do it in voice.
Zadar is a wide-shouldered human figure, standing at around an average 5'10". A large breastplate of fitted iron wraps around the chest, interlocking pieces with angular, sharp edges. The armor looks well-maintained, however, if you look at it for a long while, you notice that some of the pieces it's prepared were in bludgeoning marks instead of just completely replaced. Just a bit of wear and tear on there. The dark willow-colored leather straps going down his arms, legs, etc., and some gold for the... A half-cloak sweeps across his right shoulder, concealing his left arm, and the fabric color is like a very deep orange iridescent. What would traditionally be a pretty face is instead gaunt, with dark green sunken eyes, black hair is tied in a ponytail, and he's just got this hard stare on him that his companions didn't recognize from his job. Very different.
I like that he is also very humble and knows that his face would be pretty. So thank you.
This is from like a outside perspective, okay?
Yeah.
Don't get
yeah,
too
of
much
course.
Harsh. Alright, I'm speaking in third person, okay?
Okay. And so that makes up our ragtag bunch of adventurers. The four of you, childhood friends, have reunited on a quest that Bugs has asked you to accompany her on. And as you're making your way through the thick forest, pushing past leaves and branches, making your way up and down small hillocks and across the uneven ground, the voice of Armin Seeker, Arcanist of the Watchful Order of Mages and Protectors, rings in your mind, Veronica, fueling your continued and everlasting excitement.
Now, don't lose your head, young lady. This is your first research mission, so make it good. The townsfolk have said that they saw something sail through the sky, followed by a large crash. It's probably nothing. They just want someone to come and deal with some other small problem, so they made it up to get us out there. Go and investigate and, well, report back, I suppose.
We gotta go look for this thing that was floating through the sky.
She says as she looks up to the canopy of the forest above you, which does a very good job of hiding the late afternoon sky that sits high above the Sword Coast. And as you push through the thick forest, it isn't actually long before you come across the source of what the loud crash may have been. You left Amphail early this morning and have been travelling for a good few hours through the day and probably pushed on through a small lunch break. And it is now that you come across, suspended in a large tree, what appears to be a small sailing ship. Or at least some sort of similar build. Branches and trunks of the tree cover and penetrate sections of its hull. You can see a large fin protruding from what looks like the stern castle at the back of the boat, but it is bent and broken about halfway up. A single mast extends up from the forecastle, but that too is snapped in half. There seems to be dorsal fins that extend down from the area around the bottom of the hull that are at a strange angle down into the tree trunk. And on the floor, one that seems to have snapped off is just lying amongst the ground underneath the leaves and debris of the impact of this vessel. What would you like to do?
Oh, my stomach is rumbled. Alzian, is one of yours?
No.
What's it doing out here? So.
Looks a bit like a fish.
Yeah. Well, like a boat fish, you know?
If you guys...
How did it even get here?
I got no idea.
If you guys go and look at the chat room and you click the picture on the spoiler, you'll see what an intact version of this ship would look like.
Oh.
Halzian, can you do me just a straight intelligence check?
Ooh. 20. Not natural.
Okay, day 20, cool. That is definitely more than enough. You good first roll. You being a man who has been about vessels before and knowing the Sword Coast as well as you do, know that out here in near Amphale, near that village, that town, there's no body of water big enough for a ship like this to be sat at dock in.
That is definitely not meant to be here.
Well,
you think?
If we're to believe the locals, didn't it fly through the sky and then crash?
Yeah, but I mean, I know a lot about machines, and I got no clue how this thing would fly.
Plus, you don't always believe just the people. You know, sometimes they're drinking something, and they're really not telling the truth. But we'll have a look closer.
Yeah.
See what this thing is. Like, what? These are like giant fish fins. What are these? Can I go up?
So you can get up to the sort of the trunks of the few trees that it is suspended across, because it's big enough to be across more than one. And there is probably a good 20 feet before the actual bottom of the boat is in the tree, so you won't be able to like just get up into it, but you can get to underneath it and have a closer look. Do you want to do an investigation check for me and see what you can see?
Yeah, can I? Did I also search for like any signs of people maybe vacating, like any footprints or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, do me that investigation check.
I was gonna have Robit go and check things out because he can fly.
Yeah, okay. What does that look like?
I'll be like, shake my bag, like, chug, 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 chug.
Yeah.
Ralph, where are you?
You hear a little, and out the back of the backpack, this small magnifying glass looking creature pops up, and that's had a little.
And he has wings ridiculously small for how big he is. Like, they should not carry him at all.
I say, oh, hey, bud. Okay, we're gonna go up there and have a look for any people. And I don't know, maybe how this thing flies, because I'm kind of intrigued. What do you think?
And he, just describe him for us. He looks like an actual magnifying glass.
So his head piece is a little... is a magnifying glass, like, top.
The lens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and his body is, like, part of a radio dial. He's got spring arms, spring legs, and he has actual, like, boots that I've, like, metal worked out for him. Like, they actually are the cutest tiny little shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, little fingers. He's got fingers, thumbs, and tiny, tiny wings.
Cool. So you're going to send him off to go and buzz around... up above near the ship.
Yeah, looking for people and or a mechanic of how this thing's flying.
Okay.
If it is flying.
Obviously. Can you do a perception check for Ralph?
For Ralph.
I got a 17 from the investigation.
So. Awesome. So looking around at the floor, you see this large, long dorsal fin that looks much like the one that's still attached to the ship and sort of disappears into the brush. That has clearly snapped off and has fallen down. Around the ground, you can't see any signs of people moving. There's no tracks. There's like people haven't been across the ground here. It doesn't look like anyone has been or come from this, at least for a long time. If anyone has been through here, you think it's probably tracks from people walking or wandering through the forest. There's no nothing recent. Having a look at the ship itself, looking up at it, it's hard to see much from down here, considering that most of the foliage covers large proportions of the ship. You can see there are broken holes into the hull, and you would assume there's some sort of deck high above. What you do see along the side is a nameplate, which reads the Star Seeker. What did you get for Ralph?
15.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he disappears up into the foliage, and you can hear the rustle of leaves as he's flying around and getting a good look. And he will let out a very audible, although a little bit quiet from by the distance, chirping sound to let you know that he's spotted something.
Okay, I'll shout. Is it safe? Leap twice for yes. Once for no.
He beeps three times.
What?
That's not very helpful.
I've missed that little fella.
Come back!
Yeah, about, you know, a second or two later, he's back down at your shoulder. There's a very distinct sort of sound of his wings as he buzzes down, which is annoying to say the least.
Yeah.
I feel like you could make a little museum.
Well, maybe, but I feel like I haven't made enough stuff yet.
But it has boots. It looks spring.
God, I know. It's the cutest little shoes in the world.
Only partially cute, not that cute.
What do you mean?
A little bit. Okay, let's go look at thing.
How would you like to look at it further?
I would like to... Can I climb up the tree?
You can certainly try.
I can certainly try.
Has anyone got any pitons to help?
She's like a little spider monkey. It's okay.
Okay, if you're going to try and climb up the tree, make me a athletics.
If you fall and break the things in your bag, don't complain.
I got a 14.
A 14. Yeah, that's about good enough. You managed to, over the course of about 5 minutes, find a number of different handholds. The three of you are just sort of watching this halfling scramble up one side of the tree and then realize that she can't get any further from where she is, and then scramble down a bit, move around and go a little bit further up and then down and around. And over the space of about 5 minutes, you get to the point where you are in the tree's sort of canopy next to and on level with this boat. And from where you stand, you can see that this thing is large. Like, it's clearly got more than one deck.
Mm-hmm.
And given a bit of time, you can climb yourself through the foliage and up onto the top of the ship if you wanted to.
Check for any people before I do that.
Make a just by looking?
Yeah, just by looking, I don't see any people, or, well, audibly as well, kind of hear if I can...
Yeah, okay, make a perception check for me.
Yeah.
Can you let a rope down for us, please?
I don't know if I buy one. You want to pull one up?
I have one.
What did you get on
what
perception?
What check, sorry?
Perception.
12?
12. From here it's hard to tell because you are not looking like inside the ship. You can see not the totality of the top of the ship, but you can see like where if someone were to stand on the edge and look over, you'd be able to see them. You can't see anyone milling about listening. All you really hear is the rustle of the trees in the wind and the tweeting of birds. There doesn't seem to be much movement going on.
I think it's clear enough. And I'll get someone to throw me a rope up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's got a rope?
I'm chucking a rope up 50 feet ahead of them.
Oh yeah, that's more than enough.
I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa!
Yeah. Given enough time, you can tie that off to one of the tree trunks and leave it hanging down so that you all can make your way up.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I got loads!
Oh,
and
I'm
like feeding some back.
I can take some more.
I guess I will climb up the rope.
I'll think over here.
Yeah. One at a time, you will make your way up through the canopy of the trees to meet Bugs at this point, sort of perched precariously along a thick section of the trunk, one of the branches that extends out and actually goes into the side of the ship, where the boat has landed. You giggling at the word penetrate?
No.
Oh, okay.
You didn't even say that.
No, but I said it earlier, and every time I mention it, you giggle. Oh. This thick branch has gone into the ship where it's crashed and it's broken, like,
I was
splintered the wood.
Laughing at the fact that she would tie a rope to, like, the least stable looking branch.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not gonna make them roll for that.
No. But when you said it was the one that was going into the tree, I was like, oh, of course it is. Yeah. Like, the one that is into the boat and is probably half broken.
So you all sort of perch in the tree. It's a bit cramped. Who's gonna try and get up onto the boat first?
I will.
Okay. It's not gonna take much. You don't have to roll for it because you are up in the tree next to it, but you pull yourself up onto the forecastle of the ship. It's strange. There's an angle to this boat. It's not flat in the trees. It's very much sort of precariously balanced in the canopy. And standing on the forecastle, you can see this large main mast that extends up through the trees and is snapped. There is no sail or anything like that on it. It's just the mast, but it is broken in half, probably, you think, due to the impact. On top of the forecastle, there is, nestled into the tree itself where you climb on, a catapult. It looks like it's built to spin and move in place, but it is very much jammed in the tree. As you look out across the deck, Halcyon, you can see there are a couple of doors, one very far away from you, at sort of near the stern, that just starts before a couple of steps that go up onto the forecastle. The rest of the area in between is open to the air, like a typical open ship deck. And now that you're stood here, the other thing that you notice coming out of the stern castle is another fin. One that extends up into the air vertically. And that seems to be intact.
This all sort of looks weird. And it's very broken. There's trees everywhere.
It's not a pirate ship?
I've never seen a ship quite like this.
You got any new information that's helpful?
I imagine you're all saying this as you're pulling yourselves up onto the forecastle with Halcyon.
Come on, Bean. There's no need to be mean about it.
Yeah, well, Bean.
Why are you calling me Bean? The name is Adar. We've gone through this several times on this journey now.
Your name is Beans because you are like a string bean?
When I was 5!
Yes.
How many years ago is that now?
Like,
that's a lot.
He bones. Bones. He's a broad bean now.
God. That's an awful joke.
I'm not going to humor you anymore.
He's still a bean, though.
Yeah, no, just...
Okay. There's an eerie feel to standing on this boat. Something about it doesn't quite sit right in any of your minds. The fact that it's here, the fact that it's in a tree, the fact that it's all broken and sort of disused, something's off.
Could I go and investigate any, like, that, the, what did you say, catapult?
Yeah.
Like, machinery-wise, like, the wheel, like, at the stern of the ship, like, is there a wheel, actually?
No, there is no wheel. It's certainly not at the forecastle. You haven't been down to the stern, so there could be, but you can't see one from here.
Okay, I want to investigate some machinery.
Okay, what are you trying to discern?
Usable, and last used, like if there is any residual sort of gunpowder, that kind of thing.
Right,
that
yeah,
she
yeah.
would be.
Okay, so into. Make me an investigation check looking at the catapult then.
17.
Okay, so this is a very traditional looking catapult, not unlike anything you would find on a normal sailing ship. Mm-hmm. It's bolted into this section of the forecastle, and it clearly would have, in prime conditions, twisted and turned to have a different angle looking outward from the ship. It doesn't use gunpowder or anything like that. It's one of those typical sort of like lean back, kind of like
slingshot kind of catapult.
At this point, it's looking pretty damaged because it's got twigs and branches all.
Yeah, so it's less mechanisms. It's less mechanical and more just kind of.
I mean, it is mechanical, but yeah, but not like not machinery.
Yeah,
person operated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you say forecastle, is that just the front of the ship?
Yeah, so the forecastle is the front and the stern is the back. Port is to the left, starboard is to the right.
Okay, so.
Good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff.
Did my research.
Can I ask Ralph? I'll put him down on the floor and be like, hey, bud, you're going to go to the back, okay? Now, two stern. Beeps.
It's called the stern.
He's a tiny robot, okay? He doesn't know. And neither do I.
Okay. Sorry.
Two beeps means it's safe. One beep means it's not safe. Okay?
And he turns.
That was a no. Wow.
He turns. And wow. You just watch him waddle and he goes...
Oh, for God's sake.
As he walks, sort of half runs away from you.
You didn't really give him enough room to put in, like, a brain. Like, where is he going to fit it? The boots?
You watch him go down a couple of stairs onto the main deck and run off out of your sight. And about a minute later, you hear...
Oh, no. That's a no.
Is that a no? Or is that just a Ralph noise?
No, I think that was it. It's not safe. Come back, Ralph!
It's not... Very good.
And then you hear as his feet sort of echo off the wood of the ship deck. And he makes his way across the main deck, back up the stairs, stands in front of you and just cocks his head to one side. Like he's waiting for you to do something.
I'm going to draw my right foot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to take front, slowly approach.
Okay.
But I...
Would you like me to try sneaking up like I used to back in the day?
Do you think you could do that?
I think I could do that. It'd be like good old times.
Do it, right. Matches. Yeah, show them. Show Matches em.
Would like to make a stealth check.
Yeah, go ahead.
Matches got 16.
Nice, okay. So Matches is going to crouch and do the old Skyrim crouch and make his way towards the stern of the boat. What are the rest of you doing?
I'm having a word with Ralph, because I feel like he doesn't understand.
Okay. what are you saying to him?
I'm going to kneel down.
Yeah.
And be like, now, Ralph, are you sure that it was not safe? Two yes, one no.
Two yes, one no.
Uh-huh. Are you sure it wasn't safe? Was it a poison? Was it a monster? No.
What is it going to fall down?
Oh yeah, is it dangerous?
He cocks his head to the side.
Oh yeah, you're right, everything's dangerous. Is it... Are we just gonna fall through this thing?
He cocks his head to the other side.
Oh, you don't know that? Oh, you a clever little boy.
I'm just going to keep a watch out for Matches because the little creature is not helping.
So, Matches, you make your way down the stairs onto the main deck and you can see that there are two what look like cargo hatches that would open up and drop to the deck below. They are closed. There is a door into a passageway that is facing, so the door is facing the opposite way to you. So you come down these stairs past the door. Like you could turn around and look at the door. But there is also a mirror of that, a much more grander door at the other end of the main deck, in line with the steps that go up to the forecastle. And as you make your way across and towards said steps, can you do me a perception check?
Let's see how good I am at seeing things. The answer is not very, with a 6.
Oh, no. Mm. So you're taking in the sights around you. The boat looks very in a very bad condition, and you're just chalking it up to the fact that it's, you know, somehow in the trees.
Can I say that she would have been like, he matches. Ralph actually is pretty sure there is something, so you be careful.
Okay. those words ring in your mind as you make your way across to
him. Matches is being very careful. He's been very sneaky.
Okay, keep being careful.
As you make your way up the steps onto the the stern castle, you see across from you, along the back end of the ship where the wall is, there is a ballista, and it is mounted on a rail that would run across the back of the ship. And as you sort of take that in and walk forward past where the entrance into what you assume would be a cargo deck below, you turn and see that there is a body sprawled along the floor. It looks human.
I would like to look around the area.
Mm-hmm. Make a quick perception check.
And then examine the corpse.
Cool. With your eyes, or are you using your hands?
I am using my eyes. Okay, a little bit better this time with a 12.
Okay. Having a look around, with a 12, you notice a couple of things. Some of the damage on this ship does not look like it would have been caused by a crash. There are definitely some sort of scorch marks and breaks that have looked like something has impacted the top of the deck from above. When you get to the body, it definitely looks like a human. It's a man. He seems to be long dead. His body is cold and rigid by the looks. But he's dressed in normal clothes that you would expect any kind of ship crew member to be wearing. He has on his side a sheath for a cutlass, and another, what looks like a pouch, like a leather pouch, but whatever sits in it is missing.
Well, not one to go into the beyond alone, I will sneak back and let everybody else know that what I have found is I have found a body.
A body?
Ralph, you said it wasn't a person.
Cocks his head to the side like he doesn't consider a dead person to be a person.
That's quite philosophical.
What the?
Doesn't actually.
He's
say
just
that.
Saying a corpse is a thing. It's sort of dark, really.
Okay. Well, mechanically in the rules, a corpse is an object, so...
Which we found out.
The hard way.
Alright, so... There's nothing else dangerous in there, just the corpse.
Well, there was a ballista, and... I had a quick look at the damage, and...
Ballista?
Yeah. And the damage was...
She runs off.
What? No.
Oh.
Okay. That's not a good idea.
Well, I'm going to run after bugs.
I'm going to go run after them because we don't know what killed the man.
Yeah.
Did any of you consider the body would... Like, did you check that the body was dead? Oh,
we're running now because Bugs is distracted.
Bugs has led the way and is at least a good 5 feet ahead of the rest of you. You turn the corner after going up those steps onto the stern. And you see the ballista on the rail, but your excitement is immediately dampened by the fact that there is this body just on the floor.
Yeah, I don't know if it is.
No? Maybe for a brief second,
she
ballista.
She's running, she goes, ooh.
Yeah.
And just kind of hops, skips and jumps over it. And is like just well into this ballista. Like she's aware of what she's just seen, but...
Mm-hmm.
Ballistas, man.
Yeah, it's a pretty standard looking ballista, much like the catapult at back. This one looks like it probably could still function if you needed it to. It does only shoot outwards from the stern, but it has this rail that moves it from port to starboard side.
Okay, she's gonna be here. Like playing around with that a little bit.
Yeah There's no do me a perception check. There's no catapults or anything in it, any ballista bolts.
15.
Yeah, you have a good look and you start fiddling with it, moving it around, like rolling it along the rail a little bit and giving it a, like pulling the trigger and maybe set the rope and pull it just to watch it twang, just it, that pure excitement. This has got has had good use out of it. It's been used a lot. This is not in peak condition. It could it could use a touch up, and you think you start to calculate ways that you could probably make it better.
Bugs is playing with the blister
next to a corpse. Yes.
Zadar will approach a new size body, just check quickly his pulse to make sure he's definitely dead.
Yeah, you don't even need to do a medicine check. This guy is in rigor mortis.
Yep, and then just turn him over, and then just search him.
Yeah,
and just see if there's anything on him that's of value, like anything really, like anything to tell who he is.
Yeah, yeah. You give him a good, you give him a good pat down. You do find a small pouch that contains 3 gold pieces, but they are unlike any gold pieces you have ever seen before. They are definitely gold, but they do not resemble a currency that you recognize. They have a blazing sun embedded in them.
Does anyone recognize this currency? I don't think I've seen it before.
Well, it's gold in it.
Yeah, but it's got a sun in it, so...
Right, but I don't know where it comes from. No? No one? Alright.
The Church of Pelor?
The what?
The Church of Pelor?
Are you making things... I don't think they have their own currency. That's usually for banks.
Maybe what it's not money. What if
they like religious things?
Oh, it could be a token, but why would you have 3 of them?
Maybe there was 3 of them. 3 people when he's taken all their tokens. Like my token. And I'll flick my token of the watchful order.
Yeah. Yeah, little symbol. Yeah, yeah.
Hand and pop it back in my pocket.
Right.
Maybe it's like that. Okay.
Well, I'm here to try and find anything interesting besides the actual ship, so
I think we should look behind that really fancy door over there.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. And then we'll go to the fancy door.
Okay. So, heading back down the steps from the stern onto the main deck, yeah, there's a door that that heads down, when you open it, opens easily, down some stairs into what would be, as you sort of think about it, whatever is underneath the stern castle that you've just stood on, but in the cargo deck. Are you all going to go down? It looks dark, and you can see rays of light coming in from areas that look like they shouldn't, probably from the holes in the hull.
I would like to say. Sorry, I would like to sneak my way down.
Yep, make a stealth check for me.
6.
Okay.
I will go behind Matches, and I'm like mimicking what he's doing. It's like the dun, 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 dun.
Very Scooby-Doo, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Scooby
just
pretending... doing, like, sneaking.
Yeah. And in this ragtag bunch of crew, Scooby is Ralph.
Yeah.
Wait, do I hear how bad the sneaking is?
Yeah, easily.
We're like,
easily. Okay. The ship kind of creaks and groans underneath the weight of you all moving across it. Like it could fall out the tree at any moment.
Hearing it so bad that Zadar doesn't bother. He just walks behind them because they're like sneaking. He's like, okay, whatever.
Speed, we gotta be sneaking.
A pat Matches on the back, and I'm like, good job, bud.
Thanks, folks.
Matches walking is my sneaking, definitely.
Walking down the stairs, you can see in the dark. It's not so dark that you can't see. Even if you didn't have dark vision, but it is glum down here. And the stairs come out into a almost rectagonal, not rectagonal, a diagonal corridor, which then ends in 3 doors. One directly ahead of you, one to the left and one to the right. And they look, and they're in the right and left walls, so they look like they'd go into different rooms. The corridor stops at that point. And you can assume it probably extends the other way if you wanted to go that way. The 3 doors are a little bit different in sight. The ones on the right and left are singular, and they look rather plain. But the one directly ahead of you is slightly ajar and has a more ornate build and finish to it.
Bugs will. Bugs will pop her goggles down, and like push the buttons on the side, and they go, and they glow yellow.
Yeah.
And they are my goggles of night.
Lovely.
But then, so that I can see in the dark.
Bravo 6 going dark.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't have seen the only door. It's pitch black, right?
It's not that dark. Okay. You can see. It's like dim light. Okay, who's going to go to the door first?
Me.
I will go.
You walk ahead.
I feel like we need to keep you on leash.
Yeah, you need one of those little child leashes, the harnesses. Yes. you walk forwards. The door.
The whole time, Ralph is just like doop, 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 behind me everywhere. Yeah. He just follows me everywhere.
Yeah. The door is slightly ajar, so you just need to give it a push. And as you do, you hear the as it opens into this rather grand, large room. The walls of this room are gorgeous depictions of the night sky. They are dotted with what look like many planets. You can see that there are, and Halcyon, you would recognize this, trade ship lanes, not unlike you'd see on a coastal map, moving between the planets. There's a table to one side of the room with a strange globe crystal that protrudes from the center. In the middle of the room is a captain's chair. In the dark shadows of the trees outside, you can see that it has a dark navy cushion with white stars all over it that runs up the backrest. Slumped in the chair is the body of a human man. He's adorned in leather armor and covered in blood. And as you enter, and the creak of the door makes a sound, and the floorboards beneath you groan under your weight, however light you might be as a halfling, the human man suddenly jerks and goes, "You damn pirates!" And then there's suddenly a large explosion as something fires out from underneath his coat. What's your AC, Bugs?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
Great. Great.
So that is... that's 9 points of damage.
Do I get anything for being an artillerist?
No. Yes. But you do get shot. Great. Can we all roll initiative, please?
Oh, no!
How much was it?
Nine.
Okay.
I think Bugs is going to learn running ahead in dangerous situations might not be the best idea.
Yeah, you've got to learn. Quick,
Bugs just goes, "Oh no, Bones! And I get Bones to help me.
So Bugs, it's your turn. You've just been shot.
No, ow. And she will be like, "Ralph! Go zap him! And
okay.
And then I will splash some acid his way.
Okay, is that a dex save?
With
is that acid splash?
No.
Oh, what are you doing? You know, Phoebe is actually holding her her side like she's been shot.
Oh,
I'm like, babe, you can use both of your hands to type. You haven't actually been shot.
No, I'm gonna dash his caustic brew him.
Oh, cool. Is that a spell attack or is that a save?
It is a dex save.
Cool. That will be a 15. What's your spell save, DC?
Oh, a pass. Oh, man.
That's a hit or a miss. Okay, so you, what does it look like when you fire acid out at him?
Well, I'm holding onto my side going, ow, and then from my bag I'm gonna just like grab a vial that when you pop it open it just like jets out. It's like yeah. Rather than
like
you know,
a super
just
soaker
trickling out. Yeah, yeah, like you have to pop the cork and it's just a
yeah cool pressure stream of yeah. So in the pain yes. of holding on to your new wound, you kind of just miss the mark a little bit, and the acid goes off and splashes on the floor, and you hear this sizzling sound as it begins to soak through the wood floorboard.
Mm-hmm. And then Ralph goes after me on the initiative order as well.
Yep.
If you want to put Ralph in the initiative.
Nah, sorry, I know he always goes after you.
So I told him to go zap him.
Okay.
So instead, it's just going to be like, it will still be a zap because he is obviously a little machine.
Yeah.
But it's more of like a, like a, like,
booms out of his hands.
Cool, so making an attack roll then.
But he's still very tiny, so it's not that intimidating.
Yeah,
that'll hit.
Good one, Ralph.
Was that a natural 20?
No.
Oh, okay.
That is a 6 force damage.
6 force, okay. Yeah, you watch Ralph sort of rush up and Hadouken with his little hands, and this zap of the electricity just fires out towards the man in the chair. You watch him take the full force of it and actually drop this strange contraption that he was holding in his hand that's just fired off at you, and it hits the floor with a loud clang.
Can I get Ralph to get that?
He's used his action for this turn. You'll have to double check what you can do with him for me, because I know it's the first time you've played an Artificer. Mm-hmm. And I have not played one before. Cool. So then we are on to Matches.
Matches would, on seeing his bestest friend get shot, like to sling a load of acid straight at the weird dead guy in the chair.
Mm-hmm. Is that an attack or a save?
It is an attack. It is a Melf's acid arrow.
Lovely.
And he is going to get an 18 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
He will take 4d4 acid damage for 8 points of damage.
Yeah, he's looking not good. As you fire off the... How does it look? Is it an actual arrow?
It is just literally a massive blob of acid that just goes...
Nice. So this blob of acid fires out and it hits the guy and sort of just spills over him, and you can see bits of his skin turning red underneath the green goo and sizzling. And he lets out a disgruntled grunt as he's like gripping the chair. You get the impression that he can't move.
He is also now covered in acid, which means he'll take 2d4 damage at the end of his turn. That is me done.
How's Ian?
I think we're running into this way too quickly. Oh, you're chucking acid.
That's what I do. It's my job.
He's gonna like put his head in his palm, and then just like you watch him put his hand around the top of his staff, and some of the engravings like go into life like little stars. And then he sends a guiding bolt at the at the guy in the chair.
The poor man. Yep.
Yep. 20 to hit.
Nice. Yeah, that hits.
Can we
you guys are starting off strong with these rolls.
46.
Yep. Guiding bolt's nasty. Okay.
I wanted to question him a bit.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Shot me.
7.
Yeah.
8, 9, 10, 11 damage.
Ooh, okay, yeah. What does it look like when you fire off the guarding bolt?
It comes off as like a bundle of stars, like a connected like dot constellation,
nice.
But then it turns into that like flurry.
Yeah, and fires off. There's a sudden sound as it whizzes past you, moving between you and almost splitting apart and reconnecting around you as party members, and strikes this poor near death man directly in the chest, and he lets out a grunt and coughs, and this blood pops out. He's like, and this blood just spatters on the floor. He is still alive, barely.
We're gonna go.
And it is your go, Wesley.
Okay, just see if I can catch up. Look, this is what we get for people running forward. I'm gonna try and barge by everyone who's in the door.
Yeah, easily done.
Okay. I don't want him to die from the acid. So, and he's in the chair, right?
Yeah, he's like slumped in the chair.
I'd just like to add, he can't actually rub off Melf's acid arrow.
Oh.
No, it's Tash's caustic breathing.
No, it's Tash's, yeah, but the acid arrow. He's going to take 2d4 at the end of his next turn.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, no.
Can I see the acid pooling on his chest?
Yeah, 100%. It's not just on his chest, it's all over him. There's, like, bits on his face. And you can see the skin underneath is turning a bright red. And you can hear
as
that sizzle.
I, Is the chair facing us, or is it facing away?
It's facing you, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to barge forward, get right in front of him. And then, in that moment, Zadar looks to go to his weapon, his maul, and then he looks at the acid and it, like, going into his skin and slowly...
You do the calculations, yeah.
I'm like, damn it, all right, okay. I don't do this often. I'm going to just very forcefully take my hand and, like, put it against his forehead and shove him back into the chair. And then, like, you see for a moment as some of the wounds that he's taken, like a red kind of energy starts peeling over it, and it's almost formed scars there, with a very dark tint to it. As I give him, I'm gonna give him 7 HP.
Okay.
I was really gauging.
Okay, yeah, he sits back and he goes.
And as I do
magic.
That.
Pull over him.
Alright. If you do anything right now, we're going to kill you, otherwise you're talking.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna give a glance back to the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Bugs is just holding our stomach like, what? Why would you do that?
Okay.
Match is such just like point like you sure?
It's
we need to speak to him. We don't know who he is or what this thing is.
It's his turn.
Come on. And this is his vessel.
Yeah, well, you assume.
I mean, I've just healed it. I am right in front of him. Mm. Like, literally, like, on
do me
him,
a quick perception check
much.
While you're, like, bearing down on him.
Oh my god.
Oh, tasty. Yeah. He is unarmed at this point. Now that Ralph has shocked him and made him drop his strange contraption, you can see that there's no sword on his side. There's nothing else about it. He is very much in the chair. You can see he has wounds all over him prior to the acid and the shocking that look like a mixture of slashes and cuts and holes. He is bleeding quite a lot, and he is now red and stinging from the poison too. And he says,
"Has
gone.
The acid burnt him?"
It has, but not yet. It's now his turn, so it'll burn him at the end of his turn. So he says,
"I've never had a pirate heal me before. Who are you? Where am I?"
And you see him reach into his coat, effectively, his overcoat, for something, but you don't know what. It kind of looked like he is, with your 22, protectively going to put his hand on something, not reaching for a weapon.
Okay.
It's then his turn. It's the end of his turn, so do you want to roll that damage for me and see whether he survives?
He dies?
I did a grand total of 6 acid damage.
Okay, yeah, he is just alive. But you can see...
7 was a good number!
Zadar, with your close-up view, you can see the skin beginning to melt and peel away in places where the acid has stuck to him despite your healing. It's then Bugs' turn.
Ozzy Bean, what are you doing? And
we'll
hobble
we?
Straight over to the thing that he dropped because it's interesting.
Okay, do you want to pick it up?
Yeah.
Okay. You pick up this strange long contraption. It has a wooden handle and a long metal barrel. Make a...
I think I'm proficient in this.
Make an intelligence
thing.
Check for me. You can have advantage on this as well because you were shot by it. And you can put 2 and 2 together pretty quickly.
Because you're bleeding.
Because you're
you
bleeding.
Have,
you have
enlightenment.
Yeah, because it's hurt you, you know what it is. Yeah, you do know what this is. This is a flintlock pistol. It is very, very rare. And not like anyone... you have seen before you study No, they're not sold.
Not in Dad's shop?
No, these are... Firearms are outlawed. To a sense. You can own a firearm, but you cannot own the materials that you would need to use a firearm.
Right, okay.
So they are often used as a status symbol. Nobles own firearms and have them up on their walls. Because... and you would know that they were outlawed because nobles once got too frivolous with them and decided to have many jewels to sort out their problems, and that caused a lot of dead sons and daughters, so they were outlawed, or their usage was outlawed.
Mm-hmm.
This one is unlike any one you have ever seen before. It has beautiful star-like designs in the hilt. This wooden mahogany hilt has these star constellations etched into it. Apart from that, it looks pretty standard. And it is... now unloaded. It does not have the required smoke powder to fire.
Damn it.
Is that you're done? You want to do anything else?
Hobble over to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll tell Ralph to stand down. And he kind of when he stands down, his legs suck in, his arms suck in, and his head kind of pops in.
He like sort of drops to the floor.
Like a little square. Yeah, into a little box. And then I just grab him and put him in my bag.
Cool. Matches.
I would like to go forward so I can get a proper look at the man and have a good look at him.
Yeah, make a perception check.
Can I have an investigation check to investigate him?
How are you investigating him?
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna... He's very weak. Right, I'm gonna push my way into his coat, see what he's got going on there.
Okay. Make an investigation check, and then we'll decide what you want to do with that information. And for
that would...
for this, I'll say you're probably out of initiative at this point, because he is disarmed and you guys are not hostile now.
That would be a 24.
Yeah, so he seems to be, like, you sort of get close and you feel him up. You put your hand on his, on what is his ball. It is
what
a spherical device inside his coat. And you can feel that he's put his hand around it. Some sort of sphere. You can try and put it off of him if you want to. It'll be an opposed strength check.
I will put my hand on it and say, what have you got here? Are you going to hurt Bugs with that?
Who's Bugs?
The one you just shot.
The person.
It's me.
Yeah.
Ouch. She's just laying on the floor in front of the gun. Ouch.
He coughs and blood comes out, and it is a deep dark red. It is almost a black colour. And he sort of tries to push your hand away as he pulls out whatever this spherical device is.
My hand stays on it.
He says,
"You're not pirates, are you? Who are you?"
Well, my name is Halcyon Smissy. I'm a researcher for the Watchful Order. Well, not for the Watchful Order. I've sort of been commissioned and...
Bones, I don't think we've got time for that.
Oh. Well, we are here because Big Ship fell out of sky.
Oh.
You went really strong with how you were saying that, and then it just went downhill with your last couple of words.
You're fucking groundlings!
And he pulls.
Groundling?
Make a strength check. Matches. Oh, God.
Matches got an 18.
It's fine. He rolled a 1. He's trying to pull this device out of his pocket, but you are stopping him. He says...
You haven't got long. Take it.
And he begins to pull his hand away and let go of the thing all in
right.
his pocket.
I now have a thing. What is the thing?
It is a small, probably about the size of, probably double the size of a tennis ball, a small spherical device. It is looks bronze and has that kind of metallic weight to it. And it is... there are lines and grooves and circles all over it. He says,
"Oh, here, I'll show you."
And he reaches his hands out to touch it, but without without taking it off of you. Do you let him?
Yeah.
So he sort of puts his hands around it where yours are, and you watch him press a series of these circular indents, these buttons, and then twist and turn, and kind of moves like a Rubik's Cube would, but a spherical one. And he's pressing all these bits and bobs, and as he does, it begins to light up and whirl, and you hear this kind of sound. This blue light begins to seep out of the creases and circles around the sphere, and he says, as he pushes it towards you,
"The table. Beware the yellow pirates."
And he coughs another section of blood up.
I'll go over to the table.
Make a...
I can heal him, you know, if you want to.
Make a perception check.
6.
I will be coughing in the corner and be like, "I think this man is deranged. We're not pirates. He's not even near the sea."
you're looking at the table, Matches, but you can't quite see why he sent you over there with this glowing orb.
I don't quite get it. What do I do at the table?
What were you going to say, Wes?
Sorry, do I get the sense I can probably heal him of his wounds, by the way?
Make him medicine check. He says,
"Under the sphere, there's an indent. Get us out of here."
17.
You could maybe heal the superficial wounds, but you think there is a ton of internal damage going on with this guy.
Right, so even if I try to heal him, it's not...
You don't think it would be good enough. He is on the way out.
So I basically kept him alive for a bit longer.
Yeah.
Right then.
Have we got any pressing questions? What's happening? What are you telling us to do?
Dunk.
Yeah, you just hear a... as your question...
I love how Zadar's trying to question him, and Matches is just like playing with this box.
Okay.
On the thing.
Yeah, your question is cut off by the sound of a... as the room begins to light up, the stars along the walls begin to glow a bright light blue, and you watch the trade lanes that are etched into the wall, the dashed lines begin to light up and run along. The whole room begins to just glow, and suddenly from the table you watch this crystal sphere that was indented into the war table near this indent lift up out of it and begin to show an image inside. You watch as a number of different spheres appear, surrounded by this colourful mix, this globule of strange light. And then it zooms in on one of them. You see a bright sun and a few spherical planets, you would assume, floating around it in a formation. And as these grow, the sun grows to the size... grows to a big size and then shrinks away and disappears as the perspective inside this globe shifts from planet to planet as if it's searching for something. It singles down onto one that looks blue and green, and it has a moon followed by a trail of comets. Can you make a intelligence check, please, Matches?
As this is going on,
kind of good at those.
Verbally respond with, "What? What is this 16? Thing afloat from the fair?"
What's going on? Wait, what's your name?
Matches,
tell
you
us.
Recognize the structure followed by all those meteorites is the moon in the sky, Saloon, and the Tears of Saloon, the asteroids that follow it. And as you notice that, the perspective of this orb begins to grow and show one of the particular Tears of Saloon, a large asteroid, and it grows into size and stops and then blinks. At which point, your question gets out, Zadar, and the gentleman says,
"My name is Tavik Hawthorne. I am the captain of this vessel, the Starseeker, and I was attacked by pirates. That sphere will send us to a safe place, but it is dangerous. It holds a secret that others want, and I was too loose-lipped."
At which point you feel the ground beneath you shake. There is a moment of monumentous trembling as something akin to an earthquake begins to rock you all. Can you all make me strength checks? Strength saving throws.
Straight 15.
You're fine.
13.
16. I got a 10.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. No, that's a 13.
Okay. What was yours, Sam?
16.
Okay. So, I need to call you by your other character's name then. Matches and Halsian are fine. They managed to stay stood, but both Bugs and...
I'm already on the floor.
Oh, if you're already on the floor, I didn't realise you were already down. Sorry.
Yeah.
You just roll around a little bit. But Zidai, you fall prone as the movement of whatever's happening outside shifts and knocks you onto your ass, basically. You can hear the sound of crunching and snapping, the rustling of leaves and canopies outside.
She says, "Whoa, holy cow!" And she's trying to stand up, but like falling over.
What is happening?
Can Halcyon go and run out to the bit that we can see, like the open air?
With the whole ship moving around, it's going to be quite difficult. So make an athletics check for me.
How do I have proficiency? that is a 15.
Yeah, that's enough. You manage to get your sea legs going, basically, and run out through the open door and up the stairs. And as you do, as Halsian makes his way out, you all in the helm's room, as it were, hear this large cracking and snapping as a large section of the back wall of the room pulls away to reveal the outside, the trees. You can see the canopy and the twigs pulling and raking along the ship. Halsian, as you step outside, you notice that the front of the ship has begun to try and force its way up through the canopy. You can see the fore, where the catapult is, has ripped away all of the twigs and branches that were holding onto it and is now pointing skyward. And as you reach the front, the top of those steps at the stern, and you look out to the sky and you realize you're looking straight up, there's a sudden rush of wind as everything around you moves. You do not feel inertia. It is almost as if you are standing on a still platform. Nothing has moved around you, but the ship is sailing up towards the sky. And you hear a loud crack as the tree breaks behind you and a section of the dorsal fin that was hanging off the bottom side breaks away, leaving this boat without either fins on its underside.
So when we're in the helm's room, has the back of the ship broken off?
A small section of it has, yeah.
So we can see.
You can see see the ground getting further away from you.
Oh, we're flying! The boat is flying!
I'm gonna like army crawl because I'm on the floor.
Yeah.
Army crawl to something that's like stuck down to the floor and hold on.
You could
to anything.
You could grab the table, the war table that is fused into the floor.
Yeah. And be like, this doesn't feel safe. Mm-hmm. And just hold
on. Bugs, I think I can see our old house from here.
Where?
You'd have to sort of stand up a bit.
That's the priority right now!
Zidane's just gonna like grab onto the chair with the guy and just like try and hold onto that, like stand up and hold onto the chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's just kind of giving him this like evil glare as if he's just
make a perception
screwed
check
everything
for
up. Oh, he hasn't just died, has he?
Dead in that moment.
18.
Yeah, he is glassy-eyed.
Great.
No, you die! Seriously!
The ship is hurtling through the sky at an unknown rate.
Can I just ask, if the back of the ship fell off, did we just drop that corpse?
No. So not the whole back of the ship. A small section of the bottom back wall of the ship has broken away,
right,
making a bigger hole where the branches had come through it.
Okay. So the back,
the ship
lost
is still
dead body. Just
No.
Somewhere in the country.
No. The that would be a fun like unsolved mystery, wouldn't it?
It would.
The ship still has its like whole shape. It's not in two pieces.
Okay. Yet. Okay. Cool, yeah.
Because as you are flying through the sky, the force of the wind is catching parts of this ship, the planks and timber that are broken away and making holes from the crash into the tree, and they are catching. The force is ripping those looser planks off. You, Halcyon, standing at the door of the stern, can see these odd bits of chunks just suddenly fly off and disappear to the ground behind you. You are unsure what way is up. To you, it feels like you are still, like, perpendicular to the ground, but you can tell that you are not traveling perpendicular to the ground because you are ascending.
So the ship is breaking, and we're going up very quickly.
Well, we can see that out the new window.
boats aren't meant to do that, Matchsticks.
Bones, just hold on to something.
Why are you still calm right now?
I mean, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Like,
we're flying.
He is so laid back, he's horizontal.
Yeah.
Halcyon's just jumping up and down to see if it, like, does anything.
The boat creaks and groans in displeasure at your jumping.
It's completely fine! I mean, the boat is a little bit angry at me, but it's fine!
At which point, the front main mast completely snaps off and flies down to the ground behind you.
Uh-oh.
It's not fine!
Well, it's really not!
Bones, just get in here and hold on to something!
He's going to run in and hold on to
something
that's loose. Yeah.
What's happening to the images that were in the main room? Like all the planets and everything?
Yeah, so they are still glowing with this bright blue energy, and that orb is still, from the table, still up above it, hovering above the war table out of its recessed dip. You can see, Matchsticks, that the small spherical sphere, the small sphere that you put into the indent has stopped glowing. But is still sat there, and inside that big large crystal sphere you can see that one rock floating, and seems to be like a set point. It's staying that way, it's not going to a different location.
From my point on the floor, can I see the bronze sphere on the table?
Yes.
Can I look at that? Can I
make a perception check with disadvantage because you are like at a funny angle and on the floor? Halcyon, as you run through the door and you close it, you notice that the sky is getting darker.
15.
It's nighttime, guys. It's the sun's coming over the horizon.
With a 15, was it?
Mm-hmm.
You can see that. What you get the sense with your knowledge, your magical tinkering knowledge, that whatever it's done. It's done its thing, it's activated its purpose, and it's now inert.
Can I identify anything, any of the sort of... Did you say there was, like, symbols on it?
Yeah, there's lots of lines and circles.
Can I sort of...
They are completely alien to you.
No.
No.
Okay, cool.
Matches would also like to look at the sphere, because he heard something about it having a secret in it.
Mm. Are you going to pick it up, or are you just leaving it be?
No.
He will pick it up.
Cool. Yeah, you pick up the sphere. You hear a loud...
Oh, fuck!
...as it comes out of place, and you sort of have it in your hand, and it's no longer glowing. And you can fiddle with it. I like to think that Matches is, like, in an earthquake playing with a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
Like, he's...
Basically, yeah.
You can twist different sections, and you can press different buttons, but you can just basically get a feel for it. It's like a fun little puzzle toy.
Oh, I wish.
Has the ship stopped?
Nope. You are still, as far as you know, you are still moving. And that's what's fun, because...
I had a minor panic.
As you are stood in this room, or lying on the floor in this room, however you are, you can't feel the movement. Like, you know when you're sat in a car, you can feel yourself moving? Mm-hmm. You can't feel any of that. But you can see out through the back window, the new back window, the hole, that the ship is still moving up and away from the ground at an alarming rate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the shaking has stopped.
Oh no, it is still very much shaking.
Is there a map? You said there was a map?
But we can't feel the propulsion.
Of, like, trade routes?
Yeah, all over the walls.
I believe we may be going to Saloon's Tears. There was like a little dot on the end one.
At this
Don't
point,
be silly, what? Matchsticks!
At this point, you guys can see the entirety of the Sword Coast beneath you. You have got that high.
Oh, no.
They got the completely wrong.
Oh, my. I think I'm gonna puke.
And then you hear...
What do you mean the map's wrong?
Look, if you can see the Sword's Coast. They've completely screwed it up.
That's really not the concern right now. We're flying.
And then you hear a loud crack. A creak. Oh, followed by a snapping sound, and you watch as the view out of the window suddenly spirals. You don't feel the spinning, but the ship is very much spinning. Can everybody make me a perception check?
Oh, fuck!
I feel very sick looking at this. But at the same time, I can't tear my eyes away.
Yeah, it's a strange kind of sickness as well, because like you feel dizzy looking at it, but you don't feel the inertia of the dizziness.
14.
Perception. 13. Okay, all of those are high enough. It's not hard to notice that the whole half of the front of the ship has fallen to the ground behind you.
The whole half of it.
Yeah. Bones, do you think that bit was important?
That might have been the most important.
We're still going.
We're on half a flying ship in the sky.
But I think we're spinning.
You can.
I feel
you can,
you mention
have
it.
The, I feel really bad.
You have the hole at the back of the boat, and you have the door that is kind of banging against its breeches.
Can I just go up to the door and just hold it shut as if that is somehow going
yes,
to help?
Yeah, yeah, you stop the banging of the door and it makes you have a modicum of sense of control over this situation. What do you guys want
to
do?
Is there anywhere to sit in this room, Ben? I'm getting kind of quiet.
It's getting quiet. I'm getting a little bit tired.
We feel a bit yawn.
Not really. The only chair in the whole room is being taken up by a corpse currently.
Just chuck him off, it's fine. He's dead.
I would like to go over and shove
the
corpse off of the chair. Unceremoniously, because he shot my friend.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I'm just going to...
You give him a bit of a pull, and as you drop him down, there's a loud thunk as he hits the floor and just sort of rolls a little bit.
And I'm just going to... scooch in there.
As Matchstick sits in the chair, I look at the corpse, who is basically kind of laying next to me at this point because I'm laying on the floor. Mm-hmm. I'm looking in his eyes and I'm like, that's what you get.
And it feels like you're just lying on any floor, not like you're in a ship moving at God knows what speed through the sky.
I'm going to attempt to like stand up because there is now a dead body in front of me.
You don't even need to attempt. You just stand up like you would normally would if you're on the floor at home.
Okay.
Allison, you know, so these walls, it's got like stars on it. Do you recognize any? Is this, like, what is it?
Do I recognize anything that looks familiar?
What would that be? Make a...
History? Because he...
Yeah, it'd be a history check, I think.
That's a 6.
Yeah, no, you don't recognize any of this. You know, you don't know what's going on this wall.
I've seen a lot of maps, and my mentor has shown me a lot of maps.
Yep.
To read them.
Okay, so that's great.
I think we're going in the right direction.
What do you mean the right direction? We're going up.
Matches, you sit down in this chair, and it's a little bit... There's a bit of a squelch as you sit in a pool of this dead man's blood.
Oh, no.
And as you sit down, can you make me an Arcana check, please?
I've sat in worse.
It's a self-heating.
25.
Yeah.
It's a self-heating chair.
Yeah, the offices of the Watchful Order. 25, yeah. You feel this buzzing. This sensation of tiny vibrations coming from the chair. And as you sit and you sort of get yourself comfortable, you begin to just tune out from everything going on in the room.
We're all arguing around you.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, but this is what I'm imagining as much as it's just getting comfy and we're just shouting.
He's so kind. He's at the spa right
it
now.
Feels
this
a bit
is like
a
perfect thing. But you can
chair.
Feel
We don't vibrate.
And just in the background you can hear, we're going to die!
But you can feel this arcane energy flowing through it. And then just as you're about to kind of really sink into that and explore what that might be and start pondering, there's another loud crack as the room beneath you gets a large split in the floor and begins to pull apart.
Oh no!
Oh no.
Are we all on the same side?
It would be Halcyon and Zidar on one side. Bugs would be on the other, and Matches is kind of central. So he is in line with the crack. If it gets any longer, it's going to be right at his feet. But that sound is what snaps you out of it, Matches.
Ooh. I'm going to Well, no, I'm up now. So I'm going to see the crack in the floor and be like, oh, no. And go and stand behind Matchsticks on the chair.
Yeah.
And put my hands like on the chair, like I'm holding onto the chair. And I'll be like, guys, come on. And to gesture to you two.
Zidar's going to look to the door that he's been very diligently
and
holding.
And I will say, I will not open that if I were you.
And then realise that holding the door is probably doing nothing. Yeah. And then he just goes, okay, right. And he's just going to run behind the chair.
Yeah, you let go and run towards the chair and sort of get behind Bugs. And what are you going to do, Halcyon?
Halcyon's just standing at the map going, so if that's north, then we must be going that way.
Zidar's going to run back and grab him and pull him to...
You're all huddled around this chair when the crack begins to grow and it extends towards the door where you were standing, Zidar, which suddenly bursts open. And as it does, you see the black void of space beyond. Pinpricks of light scatter the distance as if you're looking up at a beautiful clear night sky out on the open fields of the plains of the Sword Coast. As it cracks and breaks the door away, you watch it extend slightly towards the chair, an inch or two more.
Oh, it looks very dark out there, you guys.
It's nighttime.
No, it can't be nighttime. It was like the middle of the day.
Right, there should be blue skies. Like, it looks like it's a starry night. We're flying.
It looks like it's dark.
Everybody make me strength saves? You have advantage, Matches.
I got
19.
11. I got a natural 20.
Okay. All of you except for Zidar managed to hold onto the chair as
he's just panicking.
The crack reaches its pinnacle, meets up at both ends, and the room you are in splits apart. The chair floats up into the void of space. The three of you hold on for dear life. Zidar, you are flung far from it and begin to float out into the reaches of wild space.
As
you float away from the group, you are looking back at them. You see them, Matches grabbing onto the arms of this chair, the other two holding on to the side and probably each other as they sort of hurtle forward through this open space, as if it looks like you are all falling, but in odd directions. Make me a perception check, Zidar.
Oh no, are they moving so fast that I can't, like, do
You're
anything?
All moving at the same rate.
Okay, 20.
You see, as you look at them and then your eyes move behind you, the planet of Tyrill growing smaller and smaller as you drift off. And you reckon, quick math, a minute or so, and you will be so far away from your friends that you will not be able to hear each other.
Can I quickly, like, scramble into my backpack and get the rope? And I don't know how quickly I can, like, how quickly do you think I could tie... Because I need to wait at the end of it to throw it, right? I can't just throw a rope.
How many feet away is he, Ben?
He's easily 40 feet away at this point, and that is how fast you're moving.
Well, I would like to, as an action, cast Unseen Servant and just tell it to sort of grab the rope and bring him over.
Okay. The rope is... You throw the rope?
Yeah. I'm going to try and throw it. I'm going to, like, probably, like, grab something, like a dagger or something, just, like, throw it towards...
You throw the weighted end of the rope, and you watch it get caught by an invisible force, which begins to pull it towards the chair and hands it off to...
I'm
not dying here!
I will literally tie the end of the rope to the armrest.
Can everybody make me a constitution saving throw?
I start pulling myself along the rope.
I got a 12.
17.
17? You're alright?
Constitution?
Yeah.
18.
Okay, you're okay too. How's the inner matches? It's beginning to get very cold.
Oh, in that case, nearby, I will just cast Create Bonfire.
Yeah, that's cool. That'll just use up your air supply even quicker. A small burns up on a piece of tinder that is a piece of wood that is floating through the space with you.
I mean, it is magical flame, not like actual fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. Just
pulling myself across the rope. Oh,
yeah, you're pulling yourself in.
What the hell is going on?
The four of you at this point are moving so fast that any semblance of the room has begun to drift so far away from you that you are all adrift in this open air. It feels like, at this point, the inertia hits you, that you are falling in an odd direction. You are falling away from the planet. You are moving at a speed that you have never felt before, and it very quickly makes you feel quite nauseous. Is there anything you would like to do?
Climb back to the floating chair of safety.
Yep.
We were just holding on to this one piece.
You're all
of
holding
chair.
On to each other, yeah.
So we're still just hurtling through the middle of space, like it's just black, just stars around us everywhere.
Yep. Effectively, and the planet behind you getting slowly smaller and smaller.
So, everybody, if we die here. Saying I really enjoyed playing with you all as kids, like some of my fondest memories. This is terrifying. You know, this is.
I want you to know that you're all my best friends. You hear every single one of you. You can have more than one best friend, okay?
Even though it's gone for a long while, I never stopped thinking about you guys. You know, you're great.
We never stop thinking about you, evil being.
You hear the sound of Ralph.
I might have stopped thinking about you slightly.
You hear the sound of Ralph in your bag go,
Ralph, you've come out.
It is Halzian who falls unconscious first. And it is slow and almost like falling asleep. Without even realizing it, it's all very quickly becoming quite hard for you to breathe. Halzian, you drift off into a nap of darkness.
Is he... can we see him falling limp?
You do, as he goes unconscious and lets go of the chair and begins to float away from
Can I try and grab him?
Make a dex save.
No! I got a four!
No, you don't reach him. As his body begins to hurtle and spin
Someone else
away,
can grab him.
You can see that he is turning blue. And as quickly as you miss, he is out of your reach with the speed that you're traveling.
How far away is he, Ben?
The speed you're moving, he lets go, you reach, and he's like 60 feet away.
Oh, no.
My unseen servant has a range of 60 feet, so he's going to woof and try and pull him back.
Okay, yeah, cool.
And I, whilst this is happening, Dadar's noticed that people are going unconscious, then everyone's going like Taylor.
Yeah.
He's going to get the rope they had and like try and tie everyone to the chair.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, should we tie each other? Make sure we stay together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then tie one of them to each other.
Can you two make slight hand checks? Or one of you can make it with advantage?
Do you want me to make it with advantage? Because I have.
Have X, mine's only plus two.
17.
Yeah. You manage to get the rope off of Zadar and you tie it up. And as you do, you look up to him to be like, we did it. And he's unconscious. Zadar. You turn to look to Matches, who at this point is beginning to blink very slowly. And you think he's about to go, and as you go to sort of like get his attention, he's gone too. You are floating through space. Your friend, Halzian, is drifting quite far away from you, but you can just about see him. And as you begin to feel that lightheadedness reach you, maybe a perception check.
I'm gonna notice that Matches is fallen unconscious. I'm gonna take one of the smiley face clips out of my hair.
Yeah.
And clip it on his little tuft of hair.
Okay.
And be like, oh, my friend. And then I'll do it. No.
What'd you get?
4.
You see, through the blurry vision of you beginning to fall unconscious, a shape that you can see because it begins to block out some of the stars. And it looks like a large mass. At first you blink and you think it looks like a manta ray drifting through space. And you blink again. And you try and focus on it, and your blurriness moves in and out of focus, and you see that it's more galleon-shaped, like you would see floating on the oceans, on the Sea of the Swords. And then as your vision goes away and you go to blackness, you just hear Ralph.
Oh, that bugs is going crazy.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of We Speak Common Presents The Cosmic Causeway. Don't forget to head to wespeakcommon.com for a full list of where we're available online, including our social media channels like Twitter and Instagram, as well as Patreon, which make projects like this possible. For a full track list of the music and sound effects used in this episode, head to the description below.